The past few weeks or months, we've been in this series called Nolo. For those of you who are new or haven't coming to church to Pinol service, Nolo stands for No One Left Out. And today is the season finale. It's the last episode, the last preaching on this series. So Nolo series, it's based on a parable from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14. So it's a parable about the great banquet. You know, Jesus tells this story about there is a man who wants to have a great, a big banquet, a magnificent party, and this man sent the invitation to people, I guess to his guests, but unfortunately, a lot of the guests reject the invitation and decided not to come for various reasons. One says, oh, I just got married, and I'm busy with my family life. Others say, oh, I just got a new ox, you know, so I want to work more on my farm. I'm busy with my work, I'm busy with my investment. And so the original people that was invited decided not to come. And so the host, this man, decided, okay, I'm going to invite everyone else. And I'm going to invite people on the streets. Those who are poor, those who are lame, those who are blind, those who are crippled. So this man decided to invite everyone else. And the past few weeks, we've been learning about various lessons from this story, from these parables, right? We talk about the various reasons that people use to reject God's invitation, either to come to church or just to come to know God in general. Right? People will say, oh, I'm busy with school, I'm busy with work, right? I mean, we live in Silicon Valley, you know, there's always new things to pursue. There's new unicorn every year. You know, people are busy with works or with family. We also talk about the attitude of the servants. You know, this man has a servant, and we learn about the attitude of the servant. And we also learn, more importantly, about the host himself, the heart of the host, right, which is God himself. We learn about how God call each one of us into his presence for a joyful communion, for a joyful party, right? And sadly, for a lot of people, when they think about being a Christian, it means a boring life. It means a less joyful life. It means that you'll be missing out on life. But if we understand this parable, God is saying, no, when I call you, because I want to lead you to a fulfilling life. I want you to lead you to abundance. And so that's some of the topic that we've talked about. And today, in the season finale, what I want to talk about is heaven. Because to some degree, these parables also point to our future. Now, if you read the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelations, there is this vision about at the end of time, will be invited to this party called the wedding feast of the Lamb. You know, Jesus will be the groom and will be the bride. It's going to be a feast, you know, a party. So to some degree, you know, this parable points forward to our futures. And today, that is what I want to talk about. So what is our future? What is heaven? What does the Bible says about eternity, about the new life after this life? So So we're going to read from the book of Revelations. So it's Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 to 5. If you want to open your phone to read it, feel free, but it's available there. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.' And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' And to give a little bit more details about this, if you look at the next few verses, it says, and he, in this case the angel, carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper clear as crystal. The wall built of jasper, while the city was pure gold, like clear glass. So that's the word of God. And let's close our eyes and pray and prepare our hearts. Father God, thank you so much for this opportunity, for this time and place where we can gather here as your people, as your children, Lord, that we can praise and worship, we can pray and come to you. And Lord, today as we read these words, as we read about these revelations, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will work mightily in each of us to reveal to us your wisdom, to reveal to us the future that you have for us. And Lord, I pray that there will be supernatural changes in our life after we understand more about heaven, about your promises, and about who you are. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so, as I said, it's about heaven. And let me start with this. For a long time, and I kind of grew up in quote-unquote Christian family, so I have an idea about heaven, maybe from Sunday school I learned a little bit. And for a long time, in my imagination, growing up, heaven is kind of like a separate place, maybe in the clouds, and then you'll be like floating around, and then there might be cupids, and then playing harps or like music, and heaven, at the time, I think maybe like vacation in eternity, right? You just sleep all day and night maybe. You do whatever you want. And that is my thoughts about heaven. You know, it's just some place far away. It's different. And perhaps if you watch Marvel, maybe for me it feels like heaven is like Asgard, right? You have Earth, and you at the end of time, when you die, you'll be transported to this new place, floating in the universe somewhere, it's a beautiful place, and blah, blah, blah. Right, so for a long time, that is what heaven feels like to me. But of course, as I learn more, I study more, there's so much more and even greater than that. Because when the Bible speaks about our future, when the Bible speaks about eternity, about the new life, the Bible is not speaking of an escape, right? It's not like we just die and go to Asgard or to this different place, somewhere in the universe. The Bible speaks about healing and restorations of this world. The Bible speaks about heaven itself coming down to earth. The Bible speaks about how God himself dwells with his people. And I think this is something that we maybe doesn't talk enough or maybe doesn't cover often, but I think it's important for us to understand our futures, to understand what God promised about our next life. Because if you truly understand the doctrine of heaven, it will touch a lot of different areas in your life. It will, knowing that we are not escaping from this world, but this world will be renewed, means we can, as a Christian, we should participate in taking care of this earth. We should participate in fighting injustice, because again, we're not going to be fleeing from this earth, but God himself will come down and renew and restore this world. Everything that's broken by sin, God will restore. There will be no dysfunction, as the Apostle John who get this revelation and write the book says, there will be no more pain, no more suffering, no more mourning. But although there are different aspects, I think today I just want to cover two. So the two things that I want to talk today is this. I think understanding the doctrine of heaven will allow us to live our life, to enjoy our life as God intends it to be, without the fear of missing out. And second thing, I think heavenly-minded people will have the strength, the inner peace, to continue on, to persevere in the midst of their struggle and suffering. Okay, so first thing is FOMO. FOMO, I think it's something that's been get more and more popular in this generation. So it just stands for fear of missing out. And it's I guess the definition is the anxiety that an exciting or interesting event may currently be happening elsewhere. You know, that anxiety, that restlessness, that discontent, that jealousy, that like, oh man, I'm missing out. All these people going there, all these people doing this, all these people get this, and I'm not anywhere near that. Right? And for example, you know, you might see your friend going on a nice restaurant, steakhouse, fine dining, and you're like, oh man, that steak looks so juicy. I have to try that as well. Or you see your friends going on vacations, you know, and like, oh man, it's so beautiful. I have to go on. Why am I stuck in this job? Where I'm stuck with this thing that I have to do? I mean, I want to go and, you know, go to that place as well. Or, you know, maybe you have friends who likes to go to music concert or conference or whatever it is, and you just, you know, only see their updates like, oh man, how cool it is if I can go to Taylor Swift concert. No, I did it once. It's cool. So, you know, this FOMO is real. You know, that fear of missing out is something that a lot of people in our generation and even in people in all ages has been facing. And that feeling that we have to always, you know, catching up, playing catch up. We feel like, oh, if you're not doing that, then we're left out of being the cool kids group. Right, we're not cool enough, or maybe we are not success enough. So we live our life always running towards the next thing, always running towards getting what other people are having. And in 2013, you know, there is this group of researchers led by Andrew Pribilski, and so they are a group of researchers in Oxford, and they conduct a study mainly with the younger people, the young adults, and what they found was three quarters of young adults suffers from FOMO. And the consequence or the result of it is that a lot of these young adults have a low self-esteem, because they feel like they never measure up to what other people is doing, what other people having. They feel not enough, and they are stressful, because it seems like no matter what they have, no matter what they do, there's always, you know, something else that other people have better, or something else that other people do better. And I think, I mean, to be honest, Instagram hasn't made this easier. Right? To be honest, I have a few friends who had a good photography skill, and then when they go on vacation and I look at that picture, I mean, it raised that, oh man, I should have gone to this place as well, and it looks so beautiful. I was looking at the pictures that Co-Martin posted, you know, he was in Canada, I was like, man, there's this heart-shaped lake. So beautiful. How cool it is. And like, there's this old, beautiful building. So I think, you know, maybe this research has do more study on the younger, but I think FOMO affect people from all ages, from the young and the old, from the rich and the poor, and for non-believer or non-Christian, even Christian. Because for Christian, FOMO materialized in this sense, that we often panic or we feel nervous that if we obey God, we will miss out on something good. Now, for a lot of Christians, FOMO will show up in this feeling, this dissatisfaction or this nervousness or this panic that if we follow God, if we obey God, then we'll miss out on something good. Right? And it shows up in the way why it's difficult for people to give. I mean, if people you know, share their wealth, donate, give offer and tithing, they will lose out on some income, portion of their income. And then that might mean I can't get the latest iPhone X Pro. That might mean I can't go on vacations. It might mean I can't change my car every few years. And let me tell you, that is something I struggle myself. I remember, I think 2 years ago or a year ago, during tax seasons, right? Or those of you who work know there is tax season every year. And you will see all your income, and you also see how much you're donating or you're, you know, for tax deductibles, which is good. But then when, you know, when I was looking at my income and looking at donation, I'm like, oh man, if I don't have to give, I can have like, you know, a month vacation in Europe, or like 2 weeks in Maldives, or, you know, I can do this, I can do that, I can buy this thing, I can always upgrade my iPhone every years. Or, you know, when I was busy in my ministry, spending hours, you know, like preparing for preaching or other ministry, you know, I wonder to myself, oh man, if I have all these hours, I can probably do a side business. I can, or study, or work more, get promotion faster. So as a Christian, I think it's something that we struggle as well. You know, that we have that feeling that dissatisfaction sometimes that, oh man, I have to do this ministry, or I have to obey this, I have to live this way. And if I do that, I feel like I'll be missing out on something good. And I think the verses today, the lessons today, you know, in the book of Revelation, when we read this, when we saw that God is going to make a new, everything new, all things new. He's going to renew the earth. They're going to bring heaven to earth. There's going to be, you know, read this place. It's a kind of a city, and the wall was made with pure gold, but then it's clear glass. No, it's even the author, the one who see this revelation, cannot describe how beautiful, how majestic is this new place, this new life, when all they can do is to compare what they see with the highest thing that they, you know, like gold is like the, you know, at the time is the most expensive or like, you know, valuable, right? Like all the person in John the Apostle who see this revelation, all they can do is just to compare it with something most expensive, most beautiful in this earth. But it's not like that. It's even more. Like how, I mean, there is no gold that's clear like a glass. You know, it's just, I guess what the author is trying to say is heaven or your futures, you know, it's going to be more on whatever you can imagine it is. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine, for the glory of God gives it light and its lamp is the Lamb. Church, this is our futures. This is what God prepares for his children. And I think when we understand this, you know, we don't have to live with a sense of missing out. Yeah. Because the most beautiful place that you can see on this earth right now will be nothing compared to heaven. You know, I think when we understand where we're going, when we understand what God has in store for us, you know, we can live this life with a sacrificial heart. We can live this life, we can enjoy this life proportionately. We don't have to always running around trying to get the latest thing, the newest thing, the most trendiest thing. And we can live according to God's calling. You know, if we have to spend our time, spend our energy, you know, pursuing what God called us to be, then do so. Because we know that our rewards in heaven will be great. And I think, you know, in Christ, you're not left out and you will not miss out. This life is not all there is, and it's not all about you finding this deep satisfaction in earthly things. Now, Christ will one day make everything right and will no longer struggle with the fear of missing out. Now, if you don't have heaven, if you don't have the resurrected Christ, then by all means, I think it's reasonable to pursue all the pleasure that there is in this life. If this life is all there is, then yeah, you should drink, party. I mean, even in the book of Ecclesiastes, you know, the writer says that, you know, just have fun in this life. Just have party, drinks, you know, then die. Because that's there is to life. So just live to the fullest in a sense that enjoy the most pleasure you can get in this world. But as Christian, when we understand what God has done and what the resurrected Christ means, that means we can live differently. We can live with heaven in mind. So that's the first point. I think the second one that I want to touch about is about an inner strength and inner peace in the midst of struggles. Now, the book in the Bible, especially the New Testament, they are not written for the sake of being written. Usually they are written with a purpose. For example, the Gospel of Luke, it's written for this man named Theophilus, right? For the letter of St. Paul, it's addressed to a group, a community, or a church in a city, or it's written to individual like the letter of Timothy. And so my question is, Why does God give this book of Revelation? Why does God give this revelation to John, right? And sure, I think one clear reason is to show a glimpse of what, you know, God has in store for his people. But I think at the on the other hand, you know, a lot of scholars, a lot of Christians believe that the book of Revelation is given so that the church can stand in the midst of perseverance, in the midst of suffering. You know, the book of Revelation is given towards the end of first century. And can anyone guess what happened at the end of first century? Anyone have a guess? Maybe people who like history. What happened at the end of the first century? Anyone? No? Any guess? So at the end of the first century, the Roman emperor started large-scale persecution of Christians. And the emperor Domitian started, and maybe you've heard about Emperor Nero. Anyone heard? I think I learned that on history. But at the end of the first century is when the Roman Empire started a persecution of all Christians. Home are taken, family are separated, people are killed. And if you just die by the sword, maybe you consider yourself lucky, because a lot of people are put in the arena, you know, like imagine like a football stadium, people cheering on, and what happened is these Christians are put in the middle and given to wild beasts. You know, they put tigers there, they put, you know, all like wolf or like wild beasts, and then people are cheering on them as they see this Christian getting killed. And some others become human torch. You know, they put on a stick and then burn alive. At the time, there is no lamp. You know, you'll be walking at night and you see, oh, there is a path, there is this fire, big fire. And then if you look closer, it's people. You know, they burn a Christian alive. And it's a simple fact of history that the persecution doesn't end Christianity. You know, it has opposite effect. I mean, the persecution make Christianity grow even more in the a lot more people become a Christian. And some of the reasons, I mean, there are various reasons. Like one of the reasons is the way these people die. You know, people, these Christian, you know, they sing hymns and praise and worship as they are getting killed. They forgive the enemies who capture and kill them. You know, they pray for their enemies. And when people see that, when, you know, everyone else, when they are put in this kind of trial, they will melt. You know, they will be trembling in fear. They will be crying out in fear. But this Christian, they walk bravely into their death. And this is what the people of Rome saw at the time. You know, these people must have something in their life that allows them to face death with such dignity, with such, you know, peaceful heart, with such inner strength. And I think they're rightly so, because these Christians have the gospel, because these Christians have the heaven as their living hope. You know, they know that death or the suffering in this world is not the end, because they know that death is just a shadow. Because after death, you'll find glory. And that's why Apostle Paul can say, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I mean, for a lot of people, that just doesn't make sense. I mean, what do you mean death is gain? What do you mean, you know, what can you get from death? I mean, death for a lot of people are just the end of your story. It's game over. But for Christian, you need to understand that the suffering in this life, you know, again, as Apostle Paul said, doesn't compare to the glory that you'll receive at the end. And that's why as a Christian, you know, we can persevere knowing that, you know, God is faithful, knowing that, you know, our future is heaven. Our future is with God. And when we are with God, there is no more pain, there is no more suffering, there is no more mourning. And how does hope, and one thing that I believe is this, and I think, I mean, this pastor, Tim Keller, said it kind of nicely. He says, human beings are hope-shaped creatures, and the way you live now is controlled by what you believe about your futures. Again, the way you live now is controlled by what you believe about your future. And let me give you an example. Let's say there's two men hired to work in a field, 10 hours a day, 6 days a week, do the same thing, put on the same team, doing exactly the same thing. The only difference is that one person will get a minimum income, the other person will get a 10 million after a year. Now let me ask you, what would the first person say after a few days or a few weeks or a few months, you know, that they have to work 10 hours every day, and let's say for the, you know, in the spirit of yesterday volunteer, let's say their job is pulling out weeds from the ground. You know, those who came yesterday knows how difficult it is and how consuming and energy consuming it is, you know, under the sun, very hot with the insect, and you know, you have to, like till the ground and get all the weeds out. You know, every day you do that 10 hours. I believe the first guy will say after a few months, man, this job is killing me. Especially if he used to be a software engineer like me, where I'm just sitting in my desk for 8 hours, and then I have to, yesterday we do volunteer for 2 hours, and then I had, you know, a pain because I think I didn't do it properly. So imagine, you know, I can imagine the first person will say, oh man, my job is killing me, literally. But then the second person will say, yeah, it's tough, but it's okay. You know, because the second person knows that at the end of the year, he can pension, he can just stop working, retire, I have 10 million on my bank account, it's fine. Or maybe a more concrete example is a mom who about to give birth. You know, delivering a baby, it's called labor, but I think it doesn't do justice because it's a so difficult labor, so painful labors. You know, the pain, the blood loss, and everything that goes with, you know, giving birth to a baby, it's so painful. I mean, thanks medicine, there's a painkiller now, but you know, in the past, giving birth is one of the reason why people die. And however, if you see the mom, you know, they can endure such suffering, intense pain, because they know at the end of it, they will be able to hold their baby. You know, in fact, they're looking forward for the time when they can go through this labor process, going through this pain, because they know at the end of it, finally, they can be with their baby. Right, so what we believe about our future will affect how we live. And so that's why it's important for us, you know, as we live our, you know, our daily life, to keep this in mind, you know, to keep heaven in mind, because that will affect the decision we make, that will affect how we see struggles, that will affect the choice we make and the way we live our lives. So my question today to all of you is, you know, do you believe that when you die, you rot, and that's game over for you? Do you believe that life in this world is all the happiness you'll ever get? Like, do you believe that at the end of time, you know, the sun will die out and all civilization will gone and nobody will remember whatever anyone else has done? Or do you believe, you know, in this vision? Or do you believe in this new heaven and new earth? Do you believe in a judgment day where every evil deed and injustice will be redressed? Do you believe you're headed for a future of endless joy? Because again, your belief about your future will control how you live your life. If you think this life is all there is, again, then it is reasonable. It does make sense for you to just pursue all the pleasure, all the success, the earthly enjoyment and success that you can get. But if you believe that this life is just temporary, if you believe that your final home is with God, then I believe you will live this life differently. That you'll be able to give your time and energy, give your wealth for others, that you'll be able to live for others, you'll be able to reach out to others, because you know everything that you do now matters, because everything that you do now will have impact on eternity. That there's no waste effort in doing whatever God calls you to do, because whatever God plans to do, the impact will be for eternity. Right? And I think for a lot of us, we are a long-time Christian, and we, you know, if you ask, someone asks you these two questions, you will say, oh yeah, I believe in heaven. I believe, you know, I'll be with God. Now my question and my challenge to you is, does your daily life, does your current walk today reflect what you believe about the futures? You know, does the way you live today reflect what you believe about your futures? So that is my challenge for you today, to reflect and to see in your hearts, Do I live my life with a fear of missing out, always trying to catch up? And do I live my life with this panic, this dissatisfaction, and, oh man, I have to do this for the church. Oh, I have to ministry. Oh man, church taking so much time and money and energy for me. You know, again, I challenge you to reflect on your life and see, do you live your life as if there is heaven, or do you live this life as if this is all you have? I'm going to close, so I invite the musician to come. So a summary, just a summary of what we've talked about. Heaven. Heaven is not just a place. Heaven is where God resides. Heaven is where God is. And at one point in our futures, at the end of time, after the second coming of Christ, you know, God himself will come down and dwell with us. As the book of Revelation say, God will dwell with his people. He will be their God and we will be his people. And when God is there, when life is there, when love is there, no more suffering, no more pain, no more mourning. You know, God is the definition of life, the definition of love and the definition of life itself. God is the source of life. So that's why in our futures, you know, we had that endless joy. We'll have that great banquet. We have all that things that we think we miss out in this world. So church, don't be so hung up on always trying to catch up with the latest trend, the latest vacation place, the latest restaurant. No, we can live our life according to God's calling. We can do what God called us to do. And true, it will take our time, it will take our energy, and people outside may laugh at us saying, why are you spending so much time at church? Why are you, you know, spending so much time helping other people? You know, you should just focus on your career, build your family. You know, you have money, buy the latest car, go to the latest place. But church, if we remember that God already prepared that for us, things beyond our imagination, you know, we can live this life again with a sacrificial heart. We can live this life with contentment, with what God has blessed us with what God has given us in our life, in our family, in our job. Because we know that, you know, heaven will be the reimbursement of everything you might miss out in your life right now. But then again, you might ask, how can you be sure that you'll get to heaven? Like, how do you know that God will accept us the way we are, you know, with our flaws and our sin and our stupidity, our mistakes? How can you be sure that heaven is for us? And church, let me tell you, you can be sure of heaven. You can be sure if you believe in Christ, because he has taken what we deserve so that we can have what he deserves. You know, he has left heaven and came down to earth. He suffered, he died at the cross, bearing the punishment of sins, which is death. You know, he experienced that cosmic separation from God when he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know, he goes all through all of that so that we can have what he has been having since the beginning, so that we can have that relationship with God, so that we can be forgiven from sins, so that we can be healed, so that we can call God our Father, so that we can call heaven our home. So church, aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you'll get neither. You know, live your life with heaven in mind and you'll be able to enjoy your life as well. But when you choose to pursue all there is in this life, then you'll get neither. Let's close our eyes and pray. Father God, thank you so much for your revelations. Thank you so much for your words. Thank you so much for your plan for us, for heaven, for the new earth and the new heaven, for the restoration of our life, that, Lord, you will heal everything that's broken by sin, that there will be no more pain, no more suffering, that, Lord, we will be your people and you will dwell among us. No more separations. Lord, that we be able to behold your glory, we'll be able to see your beauty, that we'll be able to enjoy your love without any distance, without any filters, just having you there in the midst of us. Lord, this is what you've prepared for us, and I pray as your people, as your children, we'll be able to live with this in mind. And Lord, at the same time, Lord, I pray that we, those who profess that Christ is our Savior, Lord, I pray that we'll be able to live our life with joyfulness and thankfulness, knowing that Christ has died for us so that we can have this heaven. You know, that the second person in the Trinity, Jesus Christ, has came down and become man and suffer and die or bearing the penalty of our sin so that we can have these futures. Lord, I pray that we'll always be content in whatever situation we have, knowing that we have received the greatest gift we can ever imagine, that we have received your salvation, that we have received sonship, we have received you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite everyone to stand up and to worship as we're going to close.
Mari kita berdoa. Let us pray. As we come before the Lord in prayer, I want to invite you to reflect upon the message that you just heard about heaven. Do you believe in heaven? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the only way that will allow you to go to heaven because it is His heaven? Do you believe that?
Yes, Lord.
Do you believe that? Because if you do, what you believe, as the message say, it should change the way you live. It will impact our choices. I'm just repeating what our brother Rinaldi said. Think about that. Isn't that true? If there is a heaven, and if there is a God, and if Jesus is the only way, the Bible says He is the only way to go to heaven, what does it mean for our lives today? The Bible clearly says that if you confess the name of Jesus and believe in your heart, believe Him that He is the one that has died for our sin, you can receive the gifts of eternal life. That is heaven, eternal life. Will you confess? Will you believe in your heart? I pray that you do, because it's only by grace. If faith is given to you right now, you will say, yes, I believe. Yes, I want to go to heaven. So if you are the person that received the grace today, you have not done it before, you have not make a decision in your heart today that you believe in Jesus, but when the message was given and just now the challenge and reflection is done, you feel in your heart that you have that faith. I have faith. I have faith in the name of Jesus. I have faith that what He has done at the cross is enough to save me from death and from hell. I believe that. If you do believe that, I want to see your hand. Just raise up your hand. You've never done it before. This is the first time you want to say that. I believe. If you have that grace and you never done it before, just raise up your hand. All eyes, I want all eyes just shut and close. But I want those who have the faith in your heart, raise up your hand. I will open my eyes. I will pray for you. Anybody? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I see that. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. I see that. Anybody else? Don't be hesitant. If there is a faith, you will say with confidence, yes, I believe. There is no doubt. I believe. I believe in Jesus. I believe there is heaven. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see that. Anybody else? You never done it before. Thank you. You never done it before. this is the first time you are making a faith statement. Anybody else? Yes. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray for all the hands that are raised right now. Only you can give that kind of faith. Only you can give that kind of grace to our friends, our brothers and sisters that raised up their hand. Lord, I pray that you will honor the hands as they have honored you by raising their hands. Lord, let the grace of faith that you have deposited into their heart grow. The seed of faith that they have right now, Lord, I pray that it will grow into a healthy, strong tree of faith. Lord, I pray, God, let your blessing of faith come into their life even more. Let this small faith that started today will grow, that they will focus their lives and choices of their lives unto heaven, because they are sure will go to heaven because they believe in Jesus. They will be granted eternal life as promised by Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. You can lower your hand. And the second question that I want to ask to all of us in this place that has confessed Jesus as our personal Savior: is there things that you do today that does not reflect your hope and faith for heaven? You've done certain things in your life that you say that this does not reflect my hope. I'm wasting my time. I'm wasting my life. I'm making wrong things, doing wrong things, sinful thing. You know that God is gracious. God is kind. God is a God of second chance. He said, I will neither leave you nor forsake you. You are my people. You have confessed to believe, yet the world is pulling you away from me. The world is teaching you and lying to you, and you believe that for a moment. But today, after you hear, and you probably, this is not the first time you hear about heaven, but today, somehow the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart and reminding you about your destination, reminding you that what you believe should be reflected in how you live today. And you want to say to God, God, I want to come back to you. I want to refocus my life to heaven, to you, Jesus. I want to leave what I have been lied about. I want to forget about the lies. I want to learn the truth from Jesus. If that is you, I invite you to lift up your hands, all eyes still closed. You are saying to God, God, I want to go back to you. I want to know you more. I want to love you more. I want to be more committed. I want to just be in your presence. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. I see that. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Let me give you 10 more seconds. 10 more seconds. I see a lot of hands. Thank you. You just want to say, God, I want to come back to you. Restore me. Thank you. Restore me, O God. Restore my life. Renew my life. Just like you want to create a new heaven and new earth, I want to be a part of that renewal. Anybody? 5 more seconds. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I see that. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God, thank you so much for your love for us. You never give up on us. God, we are so excited to just want to follow you again. Just want to rededicate our lives again. Lord, thank you for not forgetting me. Thank you for taking care of me. Even when I ran away from you, you never depart from me. Wherever I go, you are there taking care of me. Thank you, Jesus. You thank God. Thank God. Because Jesus said, I receive you. Even though you have done this thing or that thing, I never forget about my children. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. This is a holy moment. I see some of you are touched really in your heart. I just want you to be sure. I just want you to be sure that God loves you. and your faith is not in vain. Your faith is not in vain. God will make it up for you. God will fulfill you. God will give you everything you need so that you can be strong on this earth, because you are going to a good place. You are going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's sing that ref, and then I'm going to pray for the closing of our service today. I will build my life. Yeah? Let's sing this as a promise. God, I will build my life upon your love, a strong foundation. I don't want to leave this place again unchanged. I want to build it upon you, Jesus, and your love.